Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
This morning I'd like to share some thoughts with you that I got while I was studying through the book of Hosea. So while if you begin by finding the book, Hosea, Old Testament book, Ezekiel, Daniel, and then you'll get to the book of Hosea. So if you find, go to the middle, find Psalms, then you'll find the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. And I was reading in the book of Hosea, and while I was reading, a thought kept recurring. And that's one of the things that attracts me when I'm reading scripture. You know, I see the same thought being presented, and so I went and I wanted to, I pursued that thought. And that led me to the thought, the first thing that we're going to consider this morning is the God who chooses not to remember. Very interesting way the New Testament speaks about God. God chooses not to remember our sins. He's, I will remember your sins and your iniquities no more. So that was the first thought. And then this, as I was studying that, it became evident to me that in the scripture made a very clear distinction between sin and iniquity. In fact, there are three different words which are used in the Old Testament that the Bible makes a distinction, but we're going to make on just two. One is transgression, sins, iniquities, and transgressions. I'm not sure we'll have the time to get into the transgressions, but we're going to make a distinction between sins and iniquity. So go with me, please, to Hosea, and we're going to begin in chapter 7. I'm going to read these three verses, and then we'll come back. We're going to read the verses in Hosea chapter 7, then we're going to read again in Hosea chapter 8, then we're going to read again in Hosea chapter 9. Hosea chapter 7, verse 1 says, God speaking through the prophet, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered. Hosea was a prophet to the 10 tribes, the northern tribes. And the leader of the northern tribes was Ephraim. We have, you might remember that the first king, Jeroboam, the enemy of Solomon, and then of his son Rehoboam, he was an Ephraimite. If I'm not mistaken, I believe in 1 Samuel chapter 1, the father of Elkanah, the father of Samuel, Ephraimite. So that's why it's mentioned here. The iniquity of Ephraim. It's really referring, when it says Ephraim, it's referring to Israel, the old. So when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered. And the wickedness of Samaria, the capital of the northern tribes. For they have committed fraud. A thief comes in. A band of robbers takes spoil outside. And then God says this. They do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. I remember all their wickedness. A God that remembers. Chapter 8, By the way, chapter 8 tells us all the sins. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered. What were the wickednesses of Ephraim, or the sins of Ephraim? We find those in chapter 8. They transgressed my covenant, verse 1. They made king their own kings, verse 4. They created idols, the calves of Samaria, verse 5. So those are all the things. But when we get to, so now we're going to go to verse 11 of chapter 8. Because Ephraim has made many altars for sin, they have become for him altars for sinning. I have written for him the great things of my law, God speaking. Skip with me down to verse 13 and the last part. The Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. A God who remembers sins and iniquities. He will remember their iniquity and he will punish their sins. Chapter 9 of Hosea. Verse 8, Hosea chapter 9 and verse 8. The watchman of Ephraim is with my God. Verse 9. They are deeply corrupted, as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. And so three times, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, God through the prophet Hosea reminds the nation of Israel that I will remember your sins. I will remember your iniquities. But then in the New Testament, we get a new word. Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 7 says, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Verse 8, because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 12. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Let's have a word of prayer before we go ahead. Father, we just come to you now to implore the help of your Holy Spirit. We ask that you would make your word very plain to us, that you would teach us from your word, that each and every person here might hear your voice speaking to us. We thank you for the promise of your word, that you are a God that not only forgives sin, but that you choose not to remember them anymore. Hear our prayer, for we ask it in the name of your Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what we find in reading Hosea, Old Testament, and reading Hebrews, New Testament, even though what we read in Hebrews was quoting a prophecy in Jeremiah, we find that God remembers. That shouldn't surprise us. We were in a men's study, we were reading about God keeping records. Many years ago, I don't know how many of you remember Moody Bible Institute. It had, they had a science series. One of Moody's science series suggested one of the ways that God keeps records. And it said, you know, if you could get far enough out in space, the image of what you were doing yesterday, you know, if as far as you could get into space, that image traveling at the speed of light, would, if you could get ahead of that, would just be arriving. Everything that you have done, everything that has happened in the earth is recorded energy-wise. And if you could get out far enough in the universe, the image of what you did yesterday or the image of when you were born would be just arriving someplace. Interesting thought, but the important thing is that we capture this morning is that God keeps records. God remembers. And God said, God reminded the nation of Israel. When God says something three times, we better pay attention. And three times God says, I am going to remember. I'm going to remember your sins. I'm going to remember your iniquities. And so one of the important things that we need to determine this morning is, you see, the new covenant which the Lord Jesus inaugurated with his death, and we remembered it this morning. When the Lord Jesus took the cup, he said, this cup is the new covenant. The new covenant in my blood. And so under the new covenant, God does not remember our sins and our iniquities. That's a tremendous blessing. And so are you under that new covenant? Because if you're not, then God is going to remember. And the Bible tells us, and we were studying this in Revelation, there's going to be a time when there's going to be a great white throne. And all those who don't know the Lord Jesus, the writer says, the dead, small and great, stood. So they weren't dead anymore. They were resurrected. And they stood before God, and they were judged according to the things written in the works. God is going to remember. God does remember. But the great thing about the new covenant is that God says, under this new covenant, Now this, Jeremiah and Hebrews speaks that God says, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel and with Judah. And of course that speaks of the messianic kingdom. But God, and that's interesting because it means that the new covenant, which was inaugurated at the time of Christ, goes way past the church age. That new covenant. And in that new covenant, God says, your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. I'm going to say something that I want you to listen to very carefully. I believe that the Spirit of God chose those words very carefully. Your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. It doesn't say, I am going to forget. We serve a God who chooses not to remember. He doesn't forget. Because forgetting is a failure of the human condition. You know, when you forget something, you're suddenly reminded that you forgot. I remember once I was invited to speak at a church, and Sunday I got a call, and Brother Grant, I had forgotten. I forgot that I was supposed to speak that Sunday. God doesn't forget. When we forget, it's a failure on our part. We forget things all the time. I don't know how many times I've driven away from my house and I say to myself, did I close the garage door? And many times I've turned around and I've gone back because I forgot. I did it so automatically I didn't remember. Did I close the garage door? And there was one time in Puerto Rico that I went and I spent the whole day out. When I came home, the garage door was open. Forgetting is a human failure. God does not forget. Now, having said that, let me show you a couple of verses. And so, because somebody's going to say to me, well, Brother Mark, how, if God doesn't forget, what does this mean? Hosea chapter 4. The book of Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Because you have forgotten the law of your God. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, just the last sentence. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, the last sentence. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. God speaking. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 39. God speaking to the nation of Israel, therefore, Jeremiah 23, 39. Behold, I will utterly forget you and forsake you. These writers are using words which help us to understand. Much like we call these anthropomorphisms. When we use words which describe God in human terms, we find it all through the Bible. Right there in Genesis, it says God was walking, the voice of God was walking through the garden. It helps us to understand that God's presence was there and he was passing through. But in human terms, in divine terms, he wasn't walking, he was passing through. We read about the hand of God, the feet of God, the eyes of God. So, even though we have these verses in Scripture, I am suggesting to you that forgetting is a human failure. It's a failure of the human condition, and God does not forget. God chooses not to remember, and that's something that only God can do. Sometimes we try, there are things happen in our lives that are so disagreeable that we try to forget them. And sometimes with the passage of time, we may even forget them. But God, when it comes to our sins, God says, I will remember them no more. Only God can do that. And so we have a God who has this tremendous capacity to not remember. Now it's interesting, and this is in the New Covenant. You know, it's interesting in the Old Covenant, what we hear about our sins. Our sins, the sins of the people of God in the Old Testament, they were atoned for. They were placed on a goat and sent off. We read in the 103rd Psalm that God says that, the psalmist says that as far as the east is from the west, so he has separated our sins. Or Micah says that our sins he has thrown in the depths of the deepest sea. And over again in Scripture, we find the words that God blots out our sin. But only under the new covenant does God truly take care of our sin. And it wasn't until Calvary that even the sins of the Old Testament were finally taken care of. You know, the Lord Jesus said about Abraham, we read this portion this morning, you know, in John chapter 8, he says, Abraham saw my day, and he was glad. You know what Abraham was glad about? Because he saw the time when his sins were taken away. And his God said, I am not going to remember your sin. Are you under that new covenant? If you're under that new covenant, God says, sins and iniquities I won't remember. If you're not under the new covenant, they will be remembered. Now, as I looked at that, go with me again to that portion in Hebrews chapter 8. And so, so that's the first thought that I want to leave with you this morning. The God we serve is a God who doesn't forget, he chooses not to remember. And, but there's a, that brings us to the second thought. And that's in Hebrews chapter 8 again. Well, yeah, Hebrews 8, and then we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Notice that it says, verse 12, their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. The New King James says lawless deeds. I'm not quite sure why, since it's quoting an Old Testament portion, not sure, quite sure why it says that, so I'm going to go with the authorized version. Their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. And it struck me that this verse was making a very clear distinction between what is sin and what is iniquity. And that's what I'd like to share with you. But before we do that, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31, which is where this is quoted from. And I want to point out some interesting, two interesting distinctions for you. Jeremiah chapter 31. Now you'll notice that there is a distinction. There is a difference between what Hebrew says and what Jeremiah says. Hebrew says, your sins and your iniquities, or their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. Now look at what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah 31, and we're going to read, just so that you understand, we're in the same portion. You remember? Verse 31 says this, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. That's the covenant that we're under, the covenant of grace, the new covenant, the covenant that the Lord Jesus ratified, sanctified with his own blood. This is the new covenant. And then go down to verse 34. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. Now look at what Jeremiah says. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Now there are two very important changes that the Spirit of God makes in that thought in the New Testament. The first is, it unites sins and iniquities with the thought, I will remember no more. Notice Jeremiah says, I will forgive their iniquity. That's not in Hebrews. And their sin I will remember no more. Hebrews says, their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. So there is that distinction. The other distinction that is made is, in the New Testament, sins and iniquities are plural. Here in the Old Testament, they're in the singular. That presents something of a problem, right? God says, you know, don't mess with my word. Deuteronomy chapter 4. My word, you shall not add, you shall not subtract from it. So how do we reconcile that? Just very quickly, because this is not really the thought this morning, go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 15, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15 says this, the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. Very important. The Holy Spirit witnesses to us. For after he had said before, who had said? The Holy Spirit. Right? the all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The word of God is the word of the Holy Spirit as it inspired men. And as the Holy Spirit witnesses to us, this is the covenant that I will, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds. Verse 17, then he adds, their sins and their iniquities, plural, their sins, plural, their iniquities, I will remember no more. See, in Jeremiah, God was speaking of the national sin, the sin of Israel. And so it was their sin, their idolatry, singular. But in the New Testament, it's speaking of the sins of the individual, our sins. Now, I have no authority, and I am under a curse if I change anything in God's word. But it's God's word, and he can change it. That's why the Spirit of God goes to the point that it's the Holy Spirit that is witnessing to us. He and it's his word. He has the authority to change it, to make it appropriate for the purpose. And so the word of God says, their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. And so I started to research. I wanted to know, what is the difference between a sin and an iniquity? Now, the three words that we mentioned, sin, iniquity, transgression, sin, iniquities, they are all, they're frequently in scripture, they're used synonymously. But they don't mean the same thing. Iniquity, I found, has three different nuances. Generally, a sin refers to an action or the absence of an action. Something that actually happened. But iniquity has these three different nuances and they run into each other. The first one is iniquity describes the nature of the sin. And so one of the words that we find frequently in scripture when it's speaking of iniquity, it says evil, wickedness, abominable. That tells us that the nature of the sin. That's one thought. And then it runs into a second thought where iniquity means guilt. Guilt. And then it runs into a third thought where iniquity means punishment for sin. So you have those three thoughts. The nature of the sin, the guilt of the sin, and the punishment for the sin. And we're going to look at some verses which will help us to understand that. Let's look at some verses which tell us about the... I want to, because of the time, I'm going to concentrate on the last two. Guilt and punishment. But maybe before I do that, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 34, just to see how one of the verses, you might also want to look, I won't turn to it, but actually maybe I should. Well, let's look at Exodus 34. Exodus 34 and verse 7. Notice how let's read from verse 6 for connection. And the Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord, merciful God, gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and the transgressions and the sins. God is a merciful God. He forgives iniquity, he forgives transgressions, and he forgives sin. So you see that those three are not being used as synonyms. They are distinct sins. Look at the 30s. Here's an interesting verse, which Psalm 32, where we see sin, iniquity, and transgression. look at Psalm 32, look at verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, transgression, sin, iniquity. Go down now to verse 5. The psalmist says in Psalm 32, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Now notice what this phrase says. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Now there's other verses like this, but we don't have the time for that. David says, you forgave the iniquity of my sin. What he's really saying is, you forgave the guilt. There is a sin, and then there is the guilt of that sin. Yeah. We see that on television, these shows like Law and Order. They come across a cadaver in the street, and they bring in the forensic folks. And the forensics come, and the forensics look at the body, and they examine it, and they say, oh, this is a homicide. He has a bullet in the head, or he has blunt force trauma. So finding the cadaver in the street, determining it's a homicide, well, a sin has been committed. But then the rest of the show is determining who is the perpetrator, who is guilty of that sin. So there's the question of the sin, but then there's the question of the guilt. Who is responsible? And then when you find out who is responsible, then that person has to be meted out justice, the punishment. So those are three concepts, which are, there's the sin, there is the guilt for the sin, and then there's the punishment. And that's where iniquity comes in. Let me show you some verses quickly. Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15. Now in the Old Testament, you have sins that are unintentional sins. Those sins can be forgiven. But there are other sins which are not forgiven. And this one speaks of one of them. The presumptuous sin. And generally, a presumptuous sin is a transgression. It's an outright rebellion against what God says. And so, Numbers 15 and verse 30 says, the person who does anything presumptuously whether he is native born or stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord and he shall be cut off. That means executed. That means death. There's no forgiveness. There's no atonement. The only punishment is death. That person must be cut off from among his people. Why? Because he has despised the word of the Lord, has broken his commandment, and that person shall be completely cut off. His guilt shall be upon him. And that word guilt there is the same word, avon, which in Hebrew is translated more often than not, iniquity. He shall bear his guilt. Now there are many other verses that we could show you. Job 33 verses 8 and 9, if you want to make note, is another one where it speaks of the guilt, iniquity as guilt. But iniquity also has to do with punishment. And there are many times when we look in Scripture, it's very difficult for us to really see whether guilt or punishment is being is the thought. Look at Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4, God reminds the children of Israel that in the Ten Commandments, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, verse 4. Verse 5, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. I am a jealous God, and I'm visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. Notice, God is not visiting the sin of the father. He is visiting the iniquity of the father. That means he's visiting the guilt and he's visiting the punishment on the children. To the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me. Leviticus. Book of Leviticus, chapter 26. Leviticus, chapter 26, verse 40. But if they confess their iniquity. And interestingly, notice, if you confess their iniquity and the iniquity of the fathers, you notice how many times in Scripture, Ezra, Nehemiah, Daniel, in their prayers, they say, we have sinned, our fathers have sinned. It was necessary to confess not only their iniquity, the iniquity of their fathers, with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me. Verse 41. And that I also have walked contrary to them and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they accept the punishment of their iniquity. Now the king, that thing that I believe that's what the authorized version says. Am I correct? The punishment of their iniquity. The New King James says this. If their hearts are humbled and they accept their guilt. So iniquity has this thought. The nature of the sin, the guilt of the sin, and the punishment of the sin. One more verse. One more before we leave this the topic of the this Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4.
Verse 13. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You know that word punishment is the same word that is translated iniquity. Now there are many words that's right, but there's one word that really is translated more than any other. That's the word Avon. Spelt like the word Avon, but pronounced Avon. That's the word that's used here. Cain said to the Lord, my iniquity, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And so, that in itself is very interesting. But I want you to now think, go, and with this we're going to close, Isaiah chapter, go with me please to Isaiah chapter 53. Because this is what's important. Isaiah chapter 53. Let's begin reading from verse 4. Surely he, speaking of the Lord Jesus, surely he has borne our griefs. And he has carried our sorrows. And we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Verse 11, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. Last phrase, he shall bear their iniquities. Verse 12, last portion, he was numbered with the transgression and he bore the sin of many. He bore our sin. He bore our transgressions. He bore our iniquities.
And what the Spirit of God is saying to us this morning is that when the Lord Jesus, when he hung on that cross, when he was uplifted before heaven and earth, and when God poured his wrath upon his beloved Son, the Spirit of God is saying to us that the Lord Jesus, he not only bore our sin, the act that we did. He bore my guilt. And he bore my punishment. He bore your guilt. He bore your punishment. And so I hope when you think about the death of the Lord Jesus, and when you read Isaiah chapter 53, that you get a better appreciation of what God did for us there. It's easy to say he bore our sins. Yes, but he bore my guilt and he bore my punishment. And I never can cease to praise him. Father, we